I invite you to turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And while you're turning over there, I've failed to mention as well the Church Christmas Project this year. We're going to receive foodstuffs, dry goods, that kind of thing, to help out the Brinkley Heights food pantry. And so we encourage you to bring in cans and things of that nature and be a blessing to someone else. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we'd like to read verse 1 through verse 4. Our text, we'll receive our title of our message from is from verse 2. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now last week I began a study on the subject of heaven. And I remind you that I looked up every verse in the Bible which contains the word heaven and heavens, and then made an assessment of them. And so this two-part series came as a result of my study. Now last week I introduced the subject of my text wherein we find the words, look in verse 2, the third heaven. And so using this depiction, I defined heaven by the use of a myriad of verses. It is then my objective today to consider the other half of my study. Therefore, I shall attempt to give you a description of heaven. And so the title of my message would be The Third Heaven, and it is the part 2, and I guess the subtitle would be General Declaration About God's Heaven. And so we want to think about these things today. Again, the verses that we look at are not all the verses, and the verses that are in the bulletin do not list every verse that I could have given you. Space was limited, and our time is limited, so you can look those things up on your own, but we want to speak to you today about the third heaven. And look at the second installment. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you for the day and thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for those who are here. And Father, we ask that you would just speak to our hearts according to your will and move by your Spirit. And we pray that we might honor you today. We might worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, you've heard our songs of praise. We pray that it would be honoring to you. And you've heard our prayers. And we ask you to be pleased to bless according to your will. And now as we study your word, we pray that you're would direct by your Spirit, that we would worship you as we look into your word today. And Father, just meet every need of every heart. We pray especially for those who are in our midst today that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus. We pray that you would grant repentance and faith that they might be saved even today. Lord, we love you, we honor you, and we commit this time to you. And may it be instructive to our hearts, and we just commit it to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to think about the third heaven today. You find that within our text in verse 2 about the third heaven. Let me give you a very brief review about last week. Of course, I'll not give you all the references because I gave you a great many proofs last time about the three heavens. Now, I broke it down to the way I would speak of it as our atmosphere is the first heaven, the second is the universe, and the third would be that where God dwells. And one commentator describes it this way, and I quote, "The aerial, including the clouds and the atmosphere, the heavens above us, until we come to the stars." That's number one. Number two, the starry heavens, the heavens in which the sun, moon, and stars appear to be situated. And then number three, the heavens beyond the stars. That heaven was supposed to be the residence of God, of angels, and of the Holy Spirit. And so we find that there are three heavens. That's an end of quote, by the way. So that's what we think about when I talk about the third heaven. I'm talking about the heaven where God dwells. And as we continue with our description then today of heaven, keep in mind, since God dwells there, this is where God administrates from. And so let's look at a few verses, and I'm going to invite you to turn back to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Again, with a great number of verses that you could find when you look up those words, we just have to limit it down, had to categorize it, and we trust that this will be a blessing to your heart as we think about the third heaven. Under the description of heaven, I want to consider, first of all, that angels reside in heaven. Now, we know some do not reside there any longer, but some do. And so angels reside in heaven. I've chosen to begin here in Isaiah chapter 14. And notice in verse 12, the scripture says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" Where did he fall from? He fell from heaven, son of the morning. "How art thou cut to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" Look at the next verse. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." And so we have the mention of the fall of Satan. And, well, he came from heaven, and his desire was to exalt his throne above God's, which the throne was in heaven. And but the angels reside in heaven. Turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. So when we think about heaven, yes, we know that God resides there, but the angels reside there. Other evidence is found in this verse along with many others. Matthew chapter 22, verse 30. Jesus talking to them and teaching a great lesson about the resurrection. He makes this statement, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." That's 22:30. And what's he talk about? The angels where? That are in heaven. Listen, if you will, to Galatians chapter 1. "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Revelation 18, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory." And on, there are so many verses to talk about the angels from heaven. And so when you think about heaven, yes, that third heaven is where God dwells, but it also where the angels dwell. Then if you would, while you're in Matthew, go back to chapter 3. "Secondly, I submit unto you that the spiritual kingdom is one from heaven." Now, if you're saved, you're a child of the King, and we talk about the kingdom of heaven. We talk about the kingdom of God. We believe in spiritual matters, do we not? Well, this spiritual kingdom comes from heaven. As a matter of fact, in chapter 3 of the book of Matthew, and in verse 2, as John came preaching, it says, "And saying, repent ye," this is his message, "for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's not something that we created here. It's not something we coughed up on our own and our imaginations. It's a kingdom from heaven. Go over to chapter 6, book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 10, during this model prayer which Jesus gives to teach his disciples on how to pray. Part of that prayer says in verse 10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." It's about the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 21. One other verse I would like to share with you. Matthew chapter 21, verse 25. Jesus raised the question to the chief priests, the elders, and the people, and he said, "The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men?" And they reasoned with themselves, saying, "If we say, shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him?" I mean, what we do here today, do we do this because it's something we come up with, or is it from heaven? The kingdom of God, where is it from? It's from heaven. And so, that being the case, that it comes from God, from heaven, then you ought to believe and you ought to respond. And if you're here today outside of Jesus Christ, then you need to realize there is a God in heaven whom you must face and you must deal, and you need to repent and believe on the Lord. You say, "Why should I care?" Because this is a truth that comes from heaven and carries the authority of God. But very quickly, as we think about the third heaven in this description, we know that the angels reside there. We know that the spiritual kingdom is one from heaven. But what I would like to do, and I've chosen to place an emphasis upon this, and so I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The third portion of my message today is the matter of the saints' future home. After all, that's what we're really concerned about, isn't it? When we think about old heaven, what's that mean to me and all that, and what's going to be in heaven and all those kind of things. When I think about the third heaven, that's my future home. And if you're here today and you're saved, that's your future home. And so we can say, well, we talk about angels and we know the kingdom is there, but well, let's see a little bit then about the saints' future home. Again, we just look at how the scriptures outlined for us. And so I've subcategorized this. And we're just going to look at a few references here, and this is what the Bible tells us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where I invited you to turn, I want you to know that you'll have a heavenly body. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon, with our house, which is from heaven. Now, I want you to know, my friend, that where you are right now, as you sit, you're in your house from earth. You have a human body, a physical body, and you dwell in that body. But those of us who are saved, we have a future home in heaven. And we're going to address a few more verses a little later on as we come to our conclusion about that future body. But the truth is, this body cannot enter into that place and survive. It just doesn't work. And so God is going to bring about some changes. And what that tells me is that there's going to be a heavenly body. And we're going to be clothed upon with that body from heaven. I look forward to that, to be honest with you. I look forward to the day to be in the image of Jesus Christ. But we know that in our future home, we'll have a heavenly body. The second sub-point I want to bring to your attention, and I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Instead of giving you references under this category, I've chosen to let you look at and invite you to turn to each of these verses. And so there will be some turning for you to do, and we encourage you to do so. 1 Peter chapter 1. Not only is there a heavenly body, but there's a heavenly existence. Now, there are some people that think that, well, you know, when you die, you just kind of dissipate and you just don't exist any longer. I believe there's a heaven. And I believe that's a third heaven, and we're going to be in that third heaven. I'm going to have a new body. And that means also that there's going to be a heavenly existence. Example of that would be found that I give to you in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 4, where Peter writes and he says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. There is an inheritance that awaits every one of us that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I look forward to that inheritance. Now, here on earth, we are familiar with inheritances, and you might receive one, or you might leave one for your children or grandchildren, or whatever the case may be. But you know what? In heaven, there's an inheritance that's reserved for His own. And we're going to step into that inheritance. We are existing in heaven. It's not soul sleep. We're going to be in heaven and we're going to exist. And well, there's not a lot of description about all that we'll do. There's talks about praise and worship and things of that nature. But I know that there's a heavenly existence. If you would back up a few pages of the book of Hebrews into chapter 10, there's another verse that speaks in regard to this. Hebrews chapter 10, and the writer is talking to those who have suffered so many things at the hand of persecutors and so forth, and all that they endured in their affliction. And in chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, verse 34, and I just see here a reference to the heavenly existence. It says, "For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods." You lost the earthly things. Knowing in yourselves... that you have, where? In heaven, a better and an enduring substance. I don't know what all that entails, but I know that they surrendered earthly things to have heavenly things. Every saved person will step into a heavenly inheritance. But we exist, we continue to have life and being and experience. And so I just entitled to you, when I think about the saints' future home, we have a heavenly body and we have a heavenly existence. But then if you would, turn back to Matthew chapter 5. My third subcategory, as we look into a number of verses here, and it's interesting when you compare the numbers of scriptures, in the first two we only had a few references, didn't we? But under this category, we have a number of references about the heavenly rewards. And so, dear Christian friend, when you think about that third heaven and how it's going to be your future home and you'll be have a new body, that there's also not just existence, but there are rewards that's connected with that. So I've invited you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Notice what Jesus taught the disciples on the Sermon on the Mount in verse 12. He says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." You believers are the persecuted. Remember, there's going to be rewards in heaven, and it shall be great rewards. Look at chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. "But lay up for yourselves treasures," where? "In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal." Matthew chapter 18. I tell you, my friend, part of heaven and our future home is the heavenly rewards. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 18, and really the context deals within a church context, but nonetheless, it's a reward reaped in heaven. Verse 18, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Verse 23. "Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." Great is their reward in heaven. Again, very parallel to the Matthew account. Luke chapter 12, the last verse here. Luke chapter 12. Verse 33, "Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth." And what do we find? We find that we, as while we're here on this earth, are able to invest in eternal things. We can lay up treasure in heaven. And so realize when you work for the Lord, and when you give to the kingdom, and when you serve in His behalf, and you do as God would have you to do, you not only help out here, but you're laying up treasure in heaven. There are rewards in heaven. I don't know what all those rewards will be. And I can't guarantee you that if you tithe and you give an offering here, that in heaven you're going to have a big bank account and things like that. I highly doubt there will be a bank account there anyway. But the point of the matter is, you see that there are rewards of which we shall receive in heaven. And we'll give an account of everything we've done in the body, whether it be good or bad. And the Bible is very clear, though, for our future home, rewards will be there for those who laid up treasure in heaven. One other verse under this matter of our future home, and it's found in the book of Revelation chapter 19. And I speak about the heavenly body and the heavenly existence and heavenly rewards. And again, as I've just gone through, taking where these verses were found about heaven and heavens. You say, well, there are other descriptions. Well, I understand that, and we'll look at a few of those. But I find that there's also heavenly praise. And in Revelation chapter 19 and in verse 1, it says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Hallelujah, salvation, glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God." One of the things I'm absolutely confident of that we will be doing in heaven is giving praise to God for all eternity. He'll receive the honor. He'll receive the glory. He'll receive the praise. He alone deserves it. And we have a record here in the Scriptures that in heaven there were much people. Now, of course, if much people were there, They did not still reside in their earthly tabernacle, but they have received their heavenly tabernacle, and they're in heaven, and they're giving praise and honor to God. And so there's going to be heavenly praise in that future home. Now, as we think a little bit today about the description that we see in the Scriptures about this third heaven, and we see where the angels reside, and we see where we reside in that future home for us, I want to submit unto you a few verses, and just stay there in Revelation. I'll prompt you to a few places there, but I just want to offer unto you a few things that we will see in heaven. And, one is the Son of God. Aren't you looking forward to that? Someone sings a song and they say that Jesus is what heaven means to me. And really, truly, that's what heaven ought to mean. It's being in the presence of our God as God dwells in our hearts and we are with Him. What did Stephen see when he was being stoned to death? Listen, if you will, to Acts chapter 7. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Do you know where Jesus is right now? He's at the right hand of the Father. And if we would have the grand privilege, like Stephen, to have the heavens open and the stars and all that be rolled back, we'll be able to look right into heaven and see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. That's where Jesus is. Now, one of these days, He's coming back to this earth. I look forward to that. But, when you read the Scriptures and all those things will be done, what will remain? Heaven remains. Who will be there? Jesus will be there. And so we will see the Son of God in heaven. Now, also when we get to heaven, we'll see angels, won't we? Well, certainly we have an abundance of Scriptures that talk about the angels in heaven. Only gave you a few. But we know the angels will be there. We'll get an opportunity to see angels, the seraphims, and all the angels. We get to see Gabriel and Michael. We get to see the angels. We'll see other people there. And, what a grand thing. But also we find that if we could look into heaven and we see those spiritual things that we're not accustomed to on this earth, we'll see the Son of God and we'll see the angels, but we'll also see the throne of God. Back in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, it says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit," John says, "and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." I believe God has a throne that resides in heaven. That's where God resides, and He sits on that throne. Isaiah made a comment about that. The record there in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple." And we have descriptions of that throne, but I'll tell you, I don't think those descriptions would ever be able to give a true understanding of what it really is. The throne of God. And so, my beloved, we who know Jesus Christ, we step into heaven, we'll see the Son of God. We'll see the angels, and we'll see the other saints, and we'll see the throne of God. I also invite you to consider that we'll see the heavenly tabernacle. Now, this is interesting as I pondered a few of these things and sharing this with you. I'm just going to read a few verses out of the book of Hebrews, where there's a parallel connection where the writer of the Hebrews talks about the earthly tabernacle and compares it to a heavenly tabernacle. Listen, if you will, Hebrews chapter 9. "It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these." That's a reference to the earthly tabernacle and all that. It was a description of the heavenly things. "But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Now you think about that earthly tabernacle which Moses erected there in the wilderness, and he did it according to the pattern that was given unto him, and we see about the altar, and we see the holy place, and the Holy of Holies, and the Ark of the Covenant, and all that. All that was given to Moses after a pattern of the heavenly things. And Jesus went into the Holy of Holies in heaven to offer up His blood upon the mercy seat there, as it were. Back in Hebrews 8, He says that we who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. Why? Because it was a depiction of the things that were in heaven. So it's interesting to me. I believe that when one of the things we'll see in heaven is a tabernacle, a heavenly tabernacle. Yet at the same time, when I read about New Jerusalem, and you were there in chapter 19, you can go over to chapter 21 if you wish, but it talks about the New Jerusalem, and it says, I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Interesting, when you think of heaven, we'll have a tabernacle, one of which Jesus went in our behalf. But when you speak of New Jerusalem, and in fact, turn a few pages over to chapter 21, and we'll look at a few verses about this New Jerusalem. This New Jerusalem does not have a temple, because Christ is the temple. But as I mentioned unto you, New Jerusalem, look in chapter 21, and I look at verse 2. What will we see in heaven? Well, we'll see something of the New Jerusalem, certainly. In verse 2, John says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Skip down to verse 23. Same chapter. Notice this city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. What a marvelous place, New Jerusalem. And I understand there are other descriptions that we could offer, perhaps in other description of New Jerusalem. What a wonderful city. It's my perspective that when we read in the book of Hebrews that Abraham was looking for a city whose foundations and builder and maker is God. He's thinking of New Jerusalem. And they were just passers through. They were sojourners. What will we see when we get to heaven? Well, I know we'll see God, and we'll see the Son of the Lord, and we'll see the angels, and we'll see the people that are saved there. We'll see the throne, the heavenly tabernacle, New Jerusalem. But as you're there in Revelation chapter 21, I remind you about this place, and it's a very familiar passage when we think of heaven, and we certainly don't want to overlook it. In verse 4 it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Again, in Revelation 7, it says, therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. Now, we have a mention of a throne, we have a mention of a temple, and yet New Jerusalem, there, Christ is the temple of it. Nevertheless, listen, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Here's the description, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Heaven is a glorious place, and I cannot even come close to describing what heaven is like, but I can offer you scriptures that give us a glimpse of heaven. That's our future home. That's what we will see in heaven. But one other thing before I draw a brief conclusion, and it is this. And I almost say this to you tongue in cheek, and I'll give that to you in just a moment. There in Revelation chapter 19, do you know what you'll see in heaven? And of course, you know me, I take the scriptures as literal as I can. I believe that we'll see white horses in heaven. Now, why do I say that? Because in chapter 19, it says in verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. In verse 14 of the same chapter, he says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. John saw white horses. Now, why does that seem comical? I remember many years ago my brother telling me, he was teaching Sunday school, and one of his students, their pet died. And my brother was doing his best to console the child and all that. And the child says, well, will my dog be in heaven? And my brother said, no, that dog's not going in. And he answered the best. He said, well, there's just no animals in heaven. And that kid looked up and said, well, aren't there horses in heaven? Well, you do have to give it some consideration that John saw white horses. Well, whether you believe that to be literal or not, heaven is a wonderful place. That's going to be the future home of all the saints. And so as I conclude this two-part series, and I've given you a lot of verses these last couple weeks here, the Bible describes for us three heavens. We live in this first one. They're trying to get to the second one. But we're really concerned about the eternal spiritual heaven, aren't we? Because I'll tell you, you know, our time here is limited. We're all going to die. Where will you go when you die? You either go to heaven or you'll go to hell. You ought to take concern for the third heaven. And of course, the third heaven is the dwelling place of God. We'll see His throne, we'll see His temple, we'll see His glory, and we've already offered you other things that we will see in heaven. But as I finish, we have seen today this brief description of heaven, and I just want to add a few more things. Because when you think about heaven, do you not think of the book of life? Listen, if you will, to Luke chapter 10. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. There's the book of life. There's a book in heaven, the book of life. And the names of those who are saved are written in that book, written there before the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, he says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books. And as many as God gave as gift to His Son, their names are written in the Lamb's book of life. There's life there. We've already mentioned that life. There's the book of life. But that life that we have, we know there's going to be life. We know there's going to be existence, but it's going to be different. I suggested that to you earlier. Listen, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 15. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. My friends, you live in a natural body, but every one of us who know Jesus Christ, better yet, He knows us. He saved us. He gave us eternal life. We're going to step into that spiritual body. Further in that chapter, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Truth of the matter is, we simply cannot go to heaven in the condition of which we're in. We cannot. We must be changed, and we'll be made in the image of Jesus Christ. Remember that heavenly body? That's what we'll have, and we'll be able to exist in heaven forever. Now, I also submit unto you, as you think about that new life there, and how it's going to be much different than what we are here, but, you know, there, over in the book of John, chapter 14, Jesus said that there's a mansion that awaits those who believe. That's what He said. Listen, if you will, John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Mansions. Now really, the Greek word there just means abode. It's a dwelling place. I don't think that it would be appropriate for us to take the King James translation of the word mansions here and say, okay, every one of us is going to have a 50-room building with all that, and a pond out back, and a pool, and all those kind of... I think it'd be wrong for us to... the word means dwelling. But I know that in My Father's house are many mansions, many dwellings. I don't think we ought to be worried about that song where it says what... just give me a shack in the corner of Glory Land in there, a song like that, something like that. Well, you know what? The dwelling that God has for me will be absolutely suitable. And it will not be a shack. And I doubt it's going to be a 100-room mansion. But I know that there's a dwelling place for me. And He said that where I am, there you may be also. And I'm going to come and collect you. And so every one of us who are saved today, you know what? We have a home in heaven, and we'll see the things in the glory and the splendor of heaven. And we have minimal description, and I just offer you the verses today. But doesn't it turn your heart to heaven, believer? And if you're here and you're lost, I want you to realize that will not be your home. And you might ask the question, well, how may we access the third heaven then? If you're going, maybe I would like to go there too. Well, Jesus said in that same chapter, in John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You see, it was by God's grace and mercy that Jesus came from heaven, came to this earth, took himself a human body, so that he might be a sacrifice for sinners. Jesus was crucified, he was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scripture. He ascended up into heaven, he's at the right hand of the Father. One of these days he's coming back again. But the only way I have access into heaven is through Jesus Christ. It's not by this church, it's not by baptism, it's not by my good works or your good works. No one can get to heaven outside of Jesus Christ. Only through his blood can we have forgiveness of sins. You say, well, I'm lost, I'm undone. If I died right now, I'd split hell wide open. Then you need Jesus. He is the Savior. And if he's convicting your heart, if he's drawing you by his Spirit, would you repent and believe? Would you trust him? Would you have eternal life today? You can have a home in heaven. You can enter that third heaven, but it will only be by Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And if you're saved, you ought to rejoice in that. Know that that's your future home. And be willing to look forward to that inheritance which he has for you and is waiting for you. I point you to Jesus. And may he receive all the honor and the glory. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? As we sing this song, I just would encourage you to search your heart. If you're here and you're lost, right where you are, if God's convicting you, moving in your soul, you'd repent and believe. Call upon the Lord and be saved. Christian, would you be thinking about God, thinking about what he's done for you? Offer up thanks to him for saving you and giving you eternal life. Sinner, you can be saved today if you'll believe. Christian, rejoice what he's done. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd overcome any frailty of my speech and anything of which I might have misspoken. We want your truth to go forth, and we want your word to be known. And we pray for every sinner here today that you'd convict them of their sin. We pray that you'd save them. And may we who are saved rejoice in the salvation you've given to us. Lord, we know we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, yet we have a home in heaven. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us eternal life. Thank you for what you're going to do. And we give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?